Hello, it's Lucy Wright here with the talk for Sunday the 16th of April. And today we are starting a brand new series looking through the book of Nehemiah. And this series is entitled Nehemiah, Is It Too Big a Task? And I'm really excited to start this series, as in the past, I hope you will agree that it has been very interesting to work through a whole book of the Bible together. And this Old Testament book may be one that is not very familiar to many of us. And so over the next 6 weeks or so, we are really going to delve into what we can learn from Nehemiah and how it can be relevant to our lives today. And this talk is entitled The Man for the Hour. Can I just pray before I start? Heavenly Father, I pray that you will help each of us listening to hear what you have to say to us individually. Amen. So to start this talk, I think it is really important for us to put this book of the Bible into context. Nehemiah is the last of the Old Testament historical books, and it records the history of the third return to Jerusalem after captivity, telling of how the walls in Jerusalem were rebuilt and the people were renewed in their faith. Firstly, we need to remember that the nation of Israel were God's chosen people, established by God, living in Jerusalem. If we look through the Old Testament, we see their journey of following God and then turning to idol worship. We see them being ruled by many different kings, some godly and some not so godly, with repeated warnings from different prophets telling them to turn back to God. In 586 BC, Jerusalem was destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar. And you might remember him from the book of Daniel. He captured Jews and exiled them to Babylon. Then, in Nehemiah's time, some 141 years later, the Persians ruled the land. Now, one of Nehemiah's contemporaries, Ezra, had taken some exiles back to their homeland in Jerusalem, and they had rebuilt the temple there. But the walls had been broken down and the gates burned. So how would this problem be resolved? This is where Nehemiah comes in. At the beginning of chapter 1, we read of a conversation between Nehemiah and one of his brothers from Judah, where he learned of how things were going in Jerusalem. In verse 3 we read, "Things are not going well for those who returned. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire." Here, Nehemiah has heard that Jerusalem's walls have been torn down and that his people are in desperate need. You might be sat there wondering why the wall being torn down is such a problem. Walls mean very little in modern cities today. But in Nehemiah's day, they were as essential as we would consider running water or electricity. But why were the walls so significant? Well, the walls represented power, strength, and the beauty of the city of Jerusalem. But also, they were desperately needed to protect the temple from attack. So this was a big problem. Are you wondering how Nehemiah reacted to this news and what he did next? So I'm going to read for you verses 4 to 11 to see his response. "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, "If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. There are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favour in the presence of this man." I was cupbearer to the king. So we read in verse 4 that Nehemiah was deeply upset about the condition that Jerusalem was in. But he didn't just sit and worry about it. After his initial grief, he responded to his problem with prayer, pouring his heart out to God. He recognised the problem, immediately prayed, and then acted on the problem. How often do we do this the wrong way round? We see a problem, probably panic, desperately try to come up with a solution and deal with it in our own strength. And then, maybe, as a last resort, we turn to God in prayer. I know I can be guilty of that, and I'm sure many of you can relate to that too. But Nehemiah here is showing us an example of how we should face challenges and problems in our life. When tragic news come your way, first pray. Then seek ways to move beyond the challenge to specific action that helps those in need. Through prayer, God will guide us through the challenges we face and enable us to action the best solution. Having prayed about something, it is easy to analyse, scrutinise, and talk about all the problems in the world. But what we really need are people who will not just pray, discuss a situation, but who will then do something about it. Nehemiah saw a problem and was distressed. But instead of complaining and wallowing in self-pity and grief, he took action, praying and seeking God's help. What I'd like to focus on now is how Nehemiah prayed. If we look carefully at this prayer from verse 5 through to verse 11, it gives us a clear example of how we should pray. Firstly, acknowledge the greatness of God. Secondly, acknowledge God's promises. Thirdly, confessing our sins. And fourthly, giving our specific request to God. So firstly, Nehemiah acknowledged the greatness of God. In verse 5, at the beginning of his prayer, we read, "Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God." By starting off his prayer with acknowledging the greatness of God, this gets things into perspective. There is no greater power than that of our God. All creation is made by God. God knows everything, is everything, and is all powerful. Compared to that, problems seem small. Remember the song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." What happens, according to that song, when we turn our eyes on Jesus? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and all the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Compared to God, our seemingly weighty problems pale into insignificance. They may not go away immediately. They may still present a challenge, but they grow smaller and smaller compared to the greatness of God. And though they may seem unsolvable to us, God has the power to deal with them on our behalf. We need to remember that nothing in our lives, nothing that we face, is too complex for God to deal with. Our God is an awesome God. Rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem, which we will see undertaken as the series develops over the coming weeks, was such a huge job, it would have been easy to walk away from it. But it's what we do when we face a huge task that matters to God. Our great and awesome God can lead us through huge tasks if we're willing to be used by him, like Nehemiah. Secondly, Nehemiah acknowledges God's promises. In the second part of verse 5, we read, "Who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments." Acknowledging the promises of God through prayer is so important in order to remind ourselves of what God has promised his people. Here, Nehemiah is reminding himself that God loves those who love and follow him. There are thousands of other promises in the Bible that we should remind ourselves of too. God promises that we will never be alone in life. He promises that he will get you through whatever you are facing in life right now. He promises to provide for your needs. He promises to never leave us. Reminding ourselves of the promises of God help us to stay close to him and to understand who God is. Sadly, there are many people across the country who attend church on a Sunday who know about Jesus but don't really know him. They're into religion, but they don't have a personal relationship with him. There's others in our community who see God as irrelevant. Maybe someone with a white beard sitting on a cloud. But if we fall into either of those traps, we are not claiming the promises of God as our own. If we are followers of God, then those promises are there for us to claim over our lives. And Nehemiah knew the importance of that in his relationship with God. Nehemiah could have told God that he wasn't the man for the job. Remember the discussions that Moses had with God when he didn't feel equipped for the task God had set him. Do we have those same discussions with God in our lives? Or do we boldly claim the promises of God? Promises like, "I will be with you. I will give you strength. I will give you courage. No harm will come to you." We have a God of promises that we can fully rely on when facing a huge task. Thirdly, Nehemiah confessed his sins. And not just his own sins, but the sins of those in Jerusalem whom he was mourning over. We read, "I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you." Nehemiah interceded on behalf of Israel, acknowledges their sins as well as his own. Israel had rebelled, but Nehemiah could not be smug as he had sinned too, just like we all have. The Bible says that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That sounds pretty bleak, doesn't it? But thankfully, the verse goes on to say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Nehemiah knew that truth. Nehemiah knew that both himself and all of Israel had sinned, but he also knew of the forgiveness and love of God. Do we pray for our friends, our family, our community, that they may turn from their sin and turn to God? We face a huge job of reaching people here in Birkdale, but we need to follow this example and begin with prayer for our community. And fourthly, Nehemiah laid before God his specific request. We read in verse 11, "There are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favour in the presence of this man." As Nehemiah was coming to the end of his prayer, he saw the way forward from his problem. Once he had firstly acknowledged the greatness of God, secondly acknowledged God's promises, and thirdly confessed his sins, he then and only then asked God what he wanted him to do. And only then, I believe, did God show him the way forward. Nehemiah asked God to help him to help Jerusalem rebuild their walls. And how on earth was he going to manage that? Do you ever feel, when faced with a challenge, as though you have no idea how you are going to tackle it? I bet Nehemiah felt like that when he first heard the news. But following a time of fasting and deliberate prayer, God showed him the way forward. The last verse of this chapter simply says, "I was cupbearer to the king." This was great because this placed Nehemiah in the perfect place of influence to seek the king's help in rebuilding the wall. Do you remember that today's talk is entitled Man for the Hour? Do you ever wonder why you're in this place you're in now? Your place of work, your family, your friendship group, this church, this village? Don't be fooled that it is all a coincidence. Wherever you are in life right now, and whatever you are facing, it's for a reason. God wants you to know that where you are is where he wants you, so that you are ready to do his work. Nehemiah had an amazing job as cupbearer to the king, and it positioned him perfectly to be used by God to get the wall rebuilt. Isn't that amazing? Now, I'm not going to spoil our talk for next week by telling you any more, but definitely make sure that you listen up to hear what happens next. And during this week, in preparation for next Sunday, I want you to think about this question. Do we look at the huge job of reaching people in Birkdale as something we can achieve? Prayer is powerful. And as we go through this Old Testament book, we will see that Nehemiah knew that. We will see that he knew there is power in persistent prayer. And this enabled him to face what at the time was an enormous challenge. He could very easily have ignored the problem or just responded by saying, "Oh dear, what a terrible ordeal. I will add that to the bottom of my prayer list." But instead, he owned the burden and prayed. What does this say to us as individuals and as a church? I pray this morning that you can experience the power of persistent prayer. Whatever challenge you are facing today, however scary and daunting it may be, can I encourage you to first pray? And pray like Nehemiah. Firstly, acknowledge the greatness of God. Secondly, acknowledge God's promises. Thirdly, confess your sins. And fourthly, be specific with God about your request. God will hear you and God will answer you. Maybe not in the way you want or the way you expect, but in His will. Prayer is our mightiest weapon. We just need to use it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray for anybody who is listening to this sermon, and I just pray that whatever challenge that they may be facing today, that they will find power in persistent prayer. I pray that you will help us all to really acknowledge the greatness of God. Help us to claim those promises as our own. Help us to confess our sins and specifically lay our requests before you, trusting that you will hear our prayer and that you will answer it in the best way for us. And we leave it all in your hands, Father. Amen.